Good afternoon and welcome to the HSH Nordbank conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Ralph Löwe?
Yes, thank you very much. Dear ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to today's investor and analyst call of HSH Nordbank to present to you our half-year results 2014, which we have published this morning. I hope that you did have the chance to download the investor presentation from our website. Our CFO, Stefan Erbisch, will give the presentation to be followed by a Q&A session. I now would like to hand over to Stefan Erbisch.
Thank you, Ralf. Good afternoon from my side as well. I hope that you all have seen the results and that you have more or less digested the big package we did put on the website, which I will refer to. Let's pick up page number 3 for the somehow kind of executive summary of the results. First of all, our pre-tax profits are staying actually at 432 million euros. Driven by the core bank, by reduced risk provisioning and the effect of the capital protection clause, which was already effective in the first quarter to a larger extent and followed and accompanied by a smaller impact in the second quarter. The net income is at 300 million euros. The core bank posts I would say more or less sound net income before taxes of approximately 185 million euros. You know that we have already in the first quarter a seasonal effect within this interest income line of the core bank related to a present value effect of a hybrid capital instrument, which is as of now at 96 million euros. I think you have learned in the first quarter that this is going down month by month by 2 million euros and will fully get compensated and offsetted by 2017. So this is something you really need to adjust to come closer to an understanding of a run rate of the interest income. But I will give you more details on this later. Our new business rises sharply to 4.5 billion euros. We are in line with our pro rata annual target for the new business in total. Net risk provisions are coming down to 237 million euros. Predominantly, although more or less, everything of this is related to domestic shipping. The other asset classes are designed by a very strong risk cycle in Germany. You know that Germany's industry is doing pretty well, and therefore the risk appetite and risk, signals of these credits are very, very low. If we would not have domestic shipping, the bank would have more or less no risk provision needed as of today. Within this risk provision, you know this item that we have to account here as well, the effect of the guarantee. After heavy burdens of this guarantee structure in the past, driven by very high guarantee expenses, we are now reversing parts of the booked premiums back to the P&L and therefore back to capital. This is the expected and fully planned effect of this capital protection clause. Capital ratios are, in our understanding, strong, with phased-in Basel III core capital ratio CET1 of 2.8%, fully loaded at 10.9%. We feel pretty well positioned with these ratios. Total capital ratios close to 19%. We believe also this is a not weak capital ratio. The leverage ratio is at 4.6%, above these expected thresholds designed by the Bar Committee going forward. Bail-in ratios actually at 15%. Well above the ECOFIN threshold of 8%, as we do understand the mechanism as of today. Liquidity ratios overall are pretty strong and funding profile of the bank is sound. To the comprehensive assessment, the page 4 gives you something you know already, but let's work a little bit on this more in detail. First of all, the comprehensive assessment, we did try to prepare ourselves early and strongly to this comprehensive assessment already in the year 2013. We did increase the capital position of the bank. We did improve the capital position of the bank big time in mid of last year through the step up of the guarantee in order to prepare ourselves for regulatory challenges going ahead and also for challenges of the shipping industry. This guarantee increase is fully effective within the full year accounts of 2013. They are audited, they are regulatory fully accepted, and therefore laying the basis for the exercises with the comprehensive assessment of the ECB. We believe that the risks of our books are adequately covered on the basis of today's applicable legal and regulatory requirement and on the basis of the IFRS standards. The non-performing loans are fully covered by very high risk provisions we booked and collateral as well as the Basel II cash flows. And this is important to understand. As long as you have a credit in the going concern approach, which we partially do have in the shipping industry, we are obliged to use the IRS standard 39 in order to incorporate cash flow projections. When you have a gone concern with your credits, that does mean if you want to go out of the industry, which we don't, but if, then you have to book and to treat accounting-wise these loans under liquidity assumptions, liquidation assumptions, sorry for my bad English. And this is a completely different approach which is needed to be understood. Capital ratios, again, are sound as of today. The projections show high resilience of our capital base. Clear, the high level of capital gives resilience for any kind of stress tests, and which we will see in the future, the results on this exercise. The reduction of the legacy burdens is well on its way. I would like to emphasize on this point that the restructuring unit assets, our the old baggage of the past, or the legacy assets of the bank, could get reduced by 13 billion euros within the last 12 months. This is 26%. And please do understand that we are somehow restricted to wind down our assets because we only can, given the structure of the guarantee, only go down with our positions when we minimize the loss for a guarantee provider. This is the legal understanding of the guarantee. And even with this pretty tough environment for us, this very tight mechanism around us, we could reduce the risk assets here, the risk unit assets, by close to 30% within the last 12 months. I believe this is allowed to say that we believe this is a pretty well achievement. At this point in time of the presentation, I would like to give you, as we did already in the press conference today and also in the German conference call for the investor community, the following further impressions of the or status quo of our understanding of the comprehensive assessment. And if you allow, I would like to give you some sentences on this. First of all, the comprehensive assessment with its structure of AQR and stress test is an ongoing process. It's not finalized. Second, we are in a very trustful and open, let's say, relationship or interaction with the national and the European authorities. It is trustful, and that does mean that things need to get handled very trustful. We cannot talk about everything, as nobody can do, of the 128 banks. But we can say something. First, we have meanwhile an understanding, an understanding how the ECB might look for the valuation of shipping loans under a regulatory approach, not immediately an accounting approach, but under a prudent, let's say, views and following the prudent exercise of the ECB. Even if this methodology would change on a regulatory level, we could live with this. That does mean that on the basis of today's information and today's knowledge, yeah, and this may change, but on today's information, our core tier 1 ratio, the CET, adjusted from the AQR, as of our today's knowledge, would stay well above the minimum requirements of the ECB designed for the AQR. The second information I would like to give, the then starting process of the accompanied process of this or the additional process of the stress test is in all its components not fully clear. There are several items which are for the banks and also for us not clear, and we cannot calculate these things in a comprehensive way. And therefore, a lot of procedural steps, the word here is the join up, is not transparent for the banks in its detail. Therefore, we don't have any understanding as of today how the stress tests will kick in. And therefore, simply we need to wait for these results, which are both will get published from the ECB late October. We need to wait for this point in time to give further comments on this. And fourth, I would like to reiterate here and to state again that the bank did try to place itself and prepare itself as careful as possible and early as possible with the capital increase of last year in June 2014 in order to comply with these challenges going ahead with the or associated with the comprehensive assessment. I would like to understand you, if I please, for passion on this. I cannot say more to this topic because I don't know more. And even if I would do no more, I cannot talk about these things because these are trustful informations. But we are going pretty far with these statements for you into your favor. Page number 5, to go back to the flow of the information, is an outline for an outlook for 2014. Again, we move on with our activities in the core bank, and we move on with our activities to further reduce the restructuring unit. We are well capitalized. We feel ourselves well prepared for the comprehensive assessment on the basis of existing standards, and we need to wait for the results in October. As of today, and ceteris paribus, we target for 2014 a return to profits pre and after taxes. And with the European decision process intended with the state aid case number 2 for the bank, you know that with the step-up of the guarantee, we entered again into a state aid process, which is for us a little bit a continuation of the first or a second chapter of the first state aid process, because this bank has got ruled on 10 billion euros guarantee and not on 7. But we need to wait for this further discussions with the European Union, which will pick up after summer break, and we hope to get a result of these discussions early 2015, as described on the slides. Page 7 gives you the overview about the ratios. I think I did already emphasize them in the executive summary, so I'll overjump to page number 8. The net interest income, which is in this point in time something I need to describe more in detail. The interest income overall is coming down because we are reducing the balance sheet. When you reduce the balance sheet, you're losing income. This is planned and no surprise. But we have some extraordinary items which you please, I please you to understand. And first of all, it is a non-event. It is the AG8 effect on these present values of these hybrid capital instruments, which is nothing else than the result of a change, a contractual change on the interests, which is fully get offsetted by 2017 but to 100%. So economically, it's a non-event. Second, we have 44 million euros as a negative impact one-off in the interest income, but fully get offset with correspondent economic developments in the financial result line. What is it, what stays behind? The following: we have a liquidity management, we have a liquidity buffer of 11 billion euros in the bank to always be positive ahead of MR risk minimum liquidity requirements. This liquidity reserve is managed, and in the following kind, that we overall on a monthly or quarterly basis are changing positions, adding those which are has gone run off and whatever. The interest rate risk of this portfolio is fully hedged, and if rates go up or down, you don't have any effect in the P&L. But from time to time, credit spreads are moving. And those papers we have in our books have now benefited by overall better credit spread developments. And we have decided to change some liquidity positions to release this credit spread-induced gain for the bank, which you can see in the financial investments income. But on the other side, we need to release the swap against this, the interest rate swap, and therefore we have 44 million euros interest income negative effect here. But overall, what we have done is a very positive impact for the P&L. Then we have some present value activities here to take into account for some provisions we have to take, another 20 million euros, but this is IFRS. So overall, this 160 million euros, you need to adjust and to come to a operative run rate of 392 million euros interest income, which is by and large in line with our plans. So a little bit below the plans, but by and large into the right direction. The core bank is producing stable interest incomes. The restructuring unit is going down because we are reducing volumes and we are losing a little bit some higher margin businesses of the past. Net commission income of, on page 9 is moving upwards. You know that, and I think you are familiar with this, HSA Bank is a credit-linked organization, a credit-orientated organization. We are not strong, overall strong in commission income. We try to be better in the future, but it's a slow process. Where we are very good on the way this year is on those commission related activities which have to do with structured finance, restructuring or structured finance. That does mean the credit provisions in the restructuring unit and in the asset-based lending activities, which are doing pretty well in these days, both producing better incomes. Those cross-selling activities related to, let's say, FX and interest rate derivatives for our clients are pretty slow in this year or also under plan because volatility in both markets, in rates and in FX, are slow. We have to see what the second half year will provide. We see some higher volatilities kicking in, and therefore there's a hope that also the cross-selling activities or results in the FX and interest rate derivative side will, for clients, will get improved. But as of today, we have this picture. The net income from trading, or what we call trading here, IFRS-wise, is, let's say, unexaggerated here. It is in line with our plans of approximately 100 million euros, a little bit higher here, 112. For your understanding, and I need to make this every time clear, this bank has zero proprietary trading, zero. Yeah, we are not allowed to, and we are not doing this. But what we have is we have security positions, which we have to take into a fair value accounting approach, and this comes out of this. It's 100 million euros. It's by and large, a fair value effect, but has nothing to do with a traditional trading activity or proprietary trading activity. The net income from financial investments is the correspondent line with the interest income in the first half year. It is pretty much designed by this liquidity management effect and by some gains from sales of smaller participations, which we as well could execute in the first half year. The page 10 The net loan loss provisions coming down. I think I mentioned or emphasized a little bit here that it is by and large everything for domestic shipping. Also 190 of this is for domestic shipping, for the restructuring unit and the core bank. Okay. I think you know the reason, because it is an industry under stress. And even the good news is we went down in risk provisions, but still a 237 million euros risk provision on half-year stage for a bank with the size of the HSA bank. It's a really, really big number of risk provisions, which should be much higher than a normalized risk provisions, where we are miles away in these days because of the domestic shipping line. The rest of the asset classes do show no significant negative trend or positive, even more positive trends. There is no significant negative trend, given the German very strong and positive risk cycle. And you know that HSA Bank is a proxy of the German corporate landscape as of today. Costs are going down by 12%. In line with the restructuring of the bank, capacities are going down on personnel and on other operating expense lines. And even with the very high burdens of the regulatory activities, these are all extraordinary costs for us. These are incorporated here. Also, costs for the comprehensive assessments are staying as of today by around 10 million euros, which is a huge number for this exercise. Page 11 shows you the balance sheet development over the last, let's say, 6 years. I think the graph is self-explaining here. We reduced the balance sheet by 50% by and large. Yeah? This is a very strong and heavy restructuring, which is not yet finalized, but should demonstrate that we really do serious here in order to recalibrate the bank to a design which is utmost for designed for German corporate or commercial banking. This is what we try to do, and we are well underway of this, but I want to demonstrate we don't start the restructuring. We are already well advanced in our processes here. I would like to go to some other pages. On page 14, to the adjusted group net income or pre-tax profits here, the adjusted numbers. You know that our bank is designed by some very interesting accounting developments. The guarantee, which is nothing else than capital for us, needed to get accounted in a very, let's say, complicated way. I think you know this. And all analysts are getting headaches always to fully understand the mechanics of the guarantee. But we try with this slide to give you a little bit more insight on the real operating performance of the bank. And when you go from right to left, you end up, after all extraordinary items, as they are negative or positive, as the debt waiver guarantee cost for sure is something we need to eliminate on a adjusted view, and also some other IFRS-related one-off effects also needed to get adjusted. So the core bank is producing 100 million euros pre-tax profits. It's not net income here. Sorry for this. It's net income before tax. It's pre-tax profits. And the restructuring unit is minus 100, also minus 93 million euros. This is the reality of the bank. This is HSA Bank. The rest is guarantee gimmick and other things. Yeah. And the cost-income ratio of the core bank and the return on equity you see on the upper right chart, it is around mid-40s cost-income ratio of the core bank and around 10% return on equity for the core bank. This is the reality of HSA Bank, which we would like to crystallize also for the future. To the new business developments on page 16, a short view. Real estate is doing fine with us. It is a good cycle in Germany. We have already a business volume, let's say, looked at of approximately 12 billion euros in this year. and we picked up 2.3 of this under very strict risk and return parameters. We are one of the big names in commercial lending or commercial real estate lending in Germany. We have a long tradition in this market, and we are gaining market share and a new client basis on a monthly basis. We do also do better than in the year before in energy and infrastructure, and at least shipping is also doing better, but this is international shipping and not German shipping. That does mean domestic shipping is in these days related to new business, I would say mouth dead. But internationally, the markets are totally different, and new business is on a very interesting metric basis possible. Where we do a little bit harder this year is commercial banking with German corporates, also corporate lending. The risk, let's say, credit appetite of the German mid-cap market is somehow limited because of its strong liquidity position. Okay, but we compensate this with other activities of the bank. Page 17 shows you a little bit a or tries to give you an impression about the new business quality we achieved since 2010 under new risk and return parameters the bank did give itself after the crisis. This is the result of the new risk management of the bank. Non-performing loan ratios are more or less zero, as 0.4% of the total new business since 4 years. And you see on the right chart here, on the right side of the chart, or the half of the chart, that the new business we write for the real estate portfolio as a part of the total activities are well placed and distributed over good rating and investment grade categories since 2010. Page 18 is something you know. It is the coverage of the various segments of the bank by the guarantee, which I don't want to work on again because we have discussed this already in previous investor calls. Risk provision on 19 is what I mentioned already, that despite shipping, everything is fine as of today. The guarantee itself, page 21, please, shows that the guarantee utilization of the second loss is more or less unchanged in the year 2014. On the right side of the chart, you see that we already spent and cashed out to our owners or to the guarantee provider 2 billion euros in cash out of the balance sheet of the bank, and out of the bank really is an expense. It is a provision first, and then it's an expense to the owner. With this 2 billion euros, we are miles ahead of what the European Union wanted from the bank in the year 2011 when they decided on the 10 billion euros guarantee of the bank. Why we are miles ahead of this? Because the risk structure of the portfolio has deteriorated, driven by the shipping market developments, and therefore we need to stay longer as expected with this 10 billion euros guarantee shield, and therefore we are paying on a monthly basis more and more back to our owners. It is nothing else than state aid compensation. It has nothing to do with a normal operative expense. In other houses, this is dividend payment and not premium expense. Also other houses which are related to state aid processes. Page 24, would like to show you one effect more in detail. It is the capital ratios of the bank as of today, 12.8. You know this already. Don't want to repeat myself too much. But within the guarantee itself, we have another guarantee buffer of 3.8%, and this has to do with the structure of the guarantee. That does mean the minimum risk weight of the standard formula to calculate the risk-weighted assets of the senior tranche of the securitization here is 20%. This is what the minimum requirement of this formula goes into the calculation. But the real risk weight is zero, or close to zero, below 1%. And as long as we are below 20%, we have a cushion within the guarantee. For what? For risk-weighted asset deteriorations. That does mean if rating migrations would come or if a stress test would occur, which would design other rating shifts, as long as we are within the 20% risk weighting of the senior tranche, you don't see anything in the ratio. First, when we exceed the 20% risk weight, it is biting into the capital ratio. This is the logic of this slide, which I wanted to highlight a little bit. Yeah, I think this is what I wanted to actively bring to you with this short call. And now we have, let's say, 15 minutes for discussions, and then I need to go to the airport. But many thanks for listening, and I hope that we can discuss now.
Yeah, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. For your questions, please press star 1 now. So we've got the first question coming from Sajan Shah from Morgan Stanley. May we have your questions, please?
Thanks, gentlemen. When you were talking about the way in which your shipping portfolios were measured in terms of the cash flow approach versus the liquidation approach, there was a little bit of hesitation. Were you trying to suggest that there may be a change in the way that you're having to look at these, and may the stress tests incorporate some of the liquidation valuations as opposed to the cash flow valuations? If they were to do that, have you done much work on the size of the difference in valuations between those two methodologies?
The only thing what I can tell you is, sure, we know this is what I did try with my non-native English to you. Sorry for this, but for sure we have meanwhile an understanding, step by step, an understanding how the ECB is working alongside with the AQR in relation to these shipping loans. Yeah, we are not at the end of these discussions, but we have an understanding. Yeah, and if we would adopt this, and this would change not the IFRS, it would change the regulatory standard. Yeah. Then, for sure, we would have a bigger burden under this supervisory or regulatory assumptions. But even if we would calculate these effects, which I cannot disclose, but even if we would calculate these effects on the basis of today's knowledge, we would end up with a core tier 1 ratio adjusted from AQR, which is well above the requirements of the ECB for this purpose. This is the only thing I can tell you as of today.
Thank you. And sorry, that applies just to the AQR portion of the test or to the stress test portion as well?
Yeah, this is, first of all, something which relates to the AQR. Yeah, because how the join-up between AQR and stress test, sorry for this, but I'm not familiar with this, and we don't know yet how they bring both things together. Yeah, we don't know, and therefore it's a far-reaching statement I already gave you, but I cannot give you any link to the stress test because I don't know how this get handled. Yeah. Okay, next question, please.
Okay, the next question comes from Mr. Niels Slicker from Rhodium Capital. Mr. Slicker, may we have your questions, please?
Thank you very much. In slide 26, you talk about the risk coverage for the NPL on the total book. Do you have this split between collateral and risk provisions for the shipping NPLs?
Yeah, I can give you an understanding on this. We have, in addition of the core bank and the restructuring unit, hold on a second, I need to look for, I have it somewhere in my big books, which are in front of me, but I don't know where.
Okay.
Give me a second, yeah?
That's fine.
Here, Here we go. Here we go. So we have an exposure stock of provisions, yeah, for the shipping book in the core bank and the restructuring unit,
mm-hmm,
of 3.3 billion euros. Yeah?
Yeah.
This gives you around mid 30% coverage of the total exposure by stock of provisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining percentage points to come to a full coverage is collateral and cash flow. It's a mixture of both. Yeah. This gives us the coverage of 100% in this understanding, in this respect.
Yeah, and how much is the total that I need to reach, this 100%?
Yeah, the difference, no, between 35% and 100%, so 65. So this is the mixture,
okay,
of security and cash flow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then just a follow-up question on the AQR situation. I'm a bit confused how you can make a calculation based on AQR with some sort of assumption on what we know now and just look at it from an AQR perspective. Unless you know where, how did the deduction or the adjustment would be made. I mean, is it your expectation at the moment that it will just be a hard deduction from capital, i.e. an adjustment from regulatory capital, and that's it? Or does it have to go through loan loss provisions?
This is something where we are, let's say, as long as we have existing accounting standards, we are not free in what we have to do. That does mean as long as we have let's say, classified loan activities following the strategy of the bank in a going concern approach, this is important, then we are obliged to account them under ISIF 39. That does mean to account for future expected cash flows. It's a must of IFRS. You have no choice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would account them in the gone concern environment, then you have to apply the liquidation values.
No, I appreciate that, but
so this is, and as so it does mean we are in a process. This is what I meant. We are in a process with the ECB. The results will get published in October. But as everything we know today, I disclose to you. That does mean if we would apply capital charges on this, let's say, maybe outcome of the European Union, of the ECB, related to the shipping loans, for sure it would create burdens, which in the first stance would not go through P&L. It would go through something supervisory-related,
yeah,
or regulatory-related. But this is an interim information for you. It's not a final statement from my side, because there's so much uncertainties around in these days that I cannot give you more information than I did already.
Okay, but
yep,
when you make the calculation yourself, you effectively assume it's just a capital effect and there's no P&L impact either directly or with over the three-year period through the second round effects on the additional fee component.
Yeah, genau. This is our today's working assumption.
Okay.
But it's not more. No? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Christian Leukers from Deutsche Bank. Mr. Leukers, may we have your questions, please?
Yes, good afternoon. I had two quick questions, one of which was on the comprehensive balance sheet review and how your risk shield will be reflected. If you have any ideas, especially when you have these sort of second-order effects, for example, if your capital drops below 10% and then in subsequent periods, because I think they're using three periods, and also you mentioned the ratings transition for the senior piece and how that would, if you have any idea on any, how that would be reflected. And then the other question was much simpler. It was just basically, according to your current business plan, when you expect the hybrids to be payable again, the coupons.
Okay, I think the first is a mechanical question. That does mean any kind of, let's say, additional charges or whatever will get worked against the guarantee. Yeah. So if these are risk-weighted asset related, they work against the the guarantee buffer within the guarantee itself with these risk weightings, which I did try to explain. If this would be cut in the P&L, it would predominantly go through the buffer we have within the additional premium. So it does mean it would overall, it everything works against the guarantee. It is, by the way, not possible, yeah, to explain line by line exactly when which event would kick in what kind of guarantee. But the main message we only can give today, yeah, is that on the basis of today's standards and the basis of today's legal norms, yeah, we are well capitalized. That does mean with this 12.8% phased-in Basel III ratio, this is the starting point for all discussions. Yeah. The discussions are not finalized, by the way, yeah, and we don't have any results, yeah, but we have some cautious calculations on our side, which I designed here a little bit and described, which I did tell you. But more, to be honest, I'm not able to. It's not a question of will. I'm not able to give you more disclosure on this. To the hybrids, for sure, as long as the business plan stays as it is, and as long as the legal environment stays as it is, we do plan on the today's information to start to pay coupons at 2017-18. Not a change in our communication, still as it was, but we first of all need to wait until the end of this year, and then we look further.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
I think we would like to take a final question now, ladies and gentlemen, and would therefore kindly ask you to address other additional questions through investor relations.
The reason is I need to go to the airport. It has a physical reason. Yeah.
Yeah, we have just one more questionnaire at the moment in the queue.
Okay.
So that's Mr. Somyu Sarkar from Nomura. Mr. Sarkar, may we have your questions, please?
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Quick one. I can see on page 24 that the transition from phased in to fully loaded, you're having a deduction of 1.9 percentage points. In the Q1, it was 1.3 percentage points. So the impact on the fully loaded Basel III Core Tier 1 is higher in the second half. Any color on that? Thanks.
Oh, I need to check. No, I think there's nothing has changed here structurally. Yeah, which is simply the transition of phased in and fully loaded. I need to check here if there is something new. Also, nothing in my mind. Yeah, but simply we always extrapolate our latest information on all these transition periods of Basel III rules. There's nothing specific behind.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So many thanks, and thank you for your understanding that I need to get out of this call. If there are anything open, please give us an information. We are more than delighted to answer every question you might have. Thank you very much. Ciao.
We want to thank Mr. Löwe and all the participants of this conference call. Goodbye.